We're also following another piece of breaking news right now. We've just learned that Michael Cohen is in talks about a possible plea deal. WNBC chief investigative reporter Jonathan Dienst joins me now with that story. Jonathan, what have we got on this?
Well, what we've got is that these plea talks have been ongoing, and several sources familiar with the matter tell us that the deal may be finalized as early as today, and that there may be, sure, if that deal comes through, there may be a court hearing this afternoon with Michael Cohen with a potentially guilty plea reached.
The day of redemption is at hand!
Repent, and thou shalt be saved.
There's no way you thought that's what it was going to be.
No, that was not the one I was expecting.
I'm proud of that. That was obviously a clip from Ace Ventura. The second one? What was that?
Nature Calls.
When Nature Calls, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was going to have queued up the Simpsons Al Gore. Well, this calls for a celebration.
This is the best of days. We are back. Obviously, we're coming in a couple days late from our normal schedule. Blame that on me. But we
were rewarded for being late.
Yeah, no kidding. God, for the first time, my tardiness has been seen as a positive. So, Andy, unfortunately, is not here this week. My screw up, makes it impossible for him to record today. But Brad is going to step in, and I'm sure is going to play DH with no problems.
Oh, this is going to be a fantastic episode.
It's going to be nuts. So, as that clip said, we basically, right now, the Michael Cohen stuff is still kind of up in the air. It's like it's sort of being dealt with. But what we do know is Michael Cohen has thrown himself on the mercy of Batman's cape, aka Robert Mueller, and
well, not even
him.
He threw himself on the mercy of just regular federal prosecutors.
Yeah, that just save me for the love of God. So he basically came out and said, "Look, he turned himself in, and he was like, look, yeah, my bad. You know how you guys were talking about me committing $20 million worth of fraud? Yeah, so about that. If I could just not go to prison, that would be great." No, this is awesome. This is what, look, we have been talking about the potential for this for weeks, and Michael Cohen has been teasing, oh, maybe I'll talk to federal prosecutors, maybe I won't, I gotta save my family and all this other shit. Yeah, today's the day.
I gotta say, this happened really fast, considering.
Yeah, wait, what do you mean?
Like, I mean, it seems like just yesterday when he decided that that he was gonna turn state's evidence and hired Lanny Davis and decided to change his legal strategy. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, and to get from here to plea deal is pretty quick. I'm surprised he didn't draw this out longer.
Yeah, it's you know, it's funny because you're right. It you know, in the hiring of Lanny Davis, I mean, that felt like maybe what, a month ago?
Month or two weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
What I'd like to think is that they said, "Hey, we're going to totally plead guilty, but let's wait to announce it until the day that Paul Manafort's conviction comes through."
Oh, like that. Like, it is kind of a knifing in the back, right?
Pretty much.
Like, he didn't, you know, he could have pleaded guilty when they found out about the Novartis thing. Like, there's a number of times you could just be like, all right, you got me, dead to rights. I'm done. But to do it today in conjunction with the Paul Manafort stuff, which we'll get to, is pretty brutal. And I think you might be right. It might have been deliberate just to be like, fuck you.
Like, and look, if that is the case, I applaud the pure level of petty from Lanny Davis and Michael Cohen.
Oh, 100%. No, that deserves the petty golf clap. Like, because that is exactly, like, if you're gonna do it and you're gonna knife this guy in the back, knife him not when he's confident, knife him when he's having a bad, like, oh, Paul Manafort, and you're just like, oh, look over there, well, what's happening, stab. Like, that's right, take another one of these. So good for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's sure. Like I said, it's I guess when Trump kind of bailed on him a little bit, that I'm sure that didn't help his state of mind at all.
But you know, there was also talk that he's been, and I don't mean talk as in like this is unsubstantiated, like this is substantiated, but he had been talking to John Dean, for mm-hmm. folks who don't know, Trump's internal White House lawyer. Nixon's internal. Richard Nixon's internal lawyer, who fucking turned on Nixon and basically fucked Nixon in the end. So Cohen had been talking to Dean for the last couple of weeks. That alone is disastrous. Like, wait a minute. You're talking to the one guy who fucked over the president? All right, this guy is not our friend. Like,
yeah, I think you mean noted rat John Dean,
yeah,
as the president referred to him.
A fucking rat. How dare you rat on that good president, Richard Nixon? What an odd tweet that was.
So here's the laundry list. So 8 guilty pleas for Michael Cohen, 5 counts of tax evasion, 1 count of making a false statement to a bank, and the big one, 2 campaign finance violations.
That we know of.
Right. Willfully causing an illegal corporate contribution and making an excessive campaign contribution. The first of those two obviously being probably the bigger one.
Yeah. Good. Great.
It's going to be awesome. Oh, wait. I'm getting a phone call. Let me see if I can patch in real quick. Hello? Hello? This is Michael Cohen. Who am I speaking with?
You know, the fucking funny thing about him, like, Mr. Trump, they got me. They made me turn in all my files.
Look, they did get me. They got me real good. It like the reason I'm pleading guilty here is because the federal attorneys told me that what they was going to do to me was going to be fucking disgusting. And those are words that I've said, and I understood what they meant. So I figured it'd be a good idea to do the right thing as an American. And to turn over the evidence against Mr. Trump, who is an asshole, by the way.
You know, the funny thing is, your Michael Cohen is very good because it's just you dumb. Like, it's just like, it's your voice. Just like, how dumb can I sound? Yep. No, that's it. That's it. Like, it's pretty good. Like, it's pretty good. I mean, he's just like, this guy is so tremendously fucked, right? You know, them basically throwing that $20 million fraud case right on his lap this week. It was just a testament to how much can we put on you and see how far you can bend before you break.
And now here's the question, because it bears repeating, since this is federal court that Michael Cohen's pleading guilty in. Do you think that there's a pardon coming?
No. No, I don't. No. You know what I think is coming? A 3 a.m. tweet storm that is going to be fucking epic. That's what I think is coming.
He does have a rally going on as we speak right now in West Virginia.
So in West Virginia? Oh, he got to get loose. Like, come on, man.
By the way, quick aside, this is like the third rally he's had in West Virginia since he's been in office.
It's his only stronghold.
I know. It's like, man, yeah, that's right. Like, you go get those 3 electoral college votes, Donald. Woo!
Yeah, no, you're tearing it up, baby. Like, don't let us get in your way. Look, it's another, you know, another feel-good rally. I forget what Andy calls them, self-esteem rallies or something.
It's basically like jerk-off sessions for him.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. He gets to pantomime as a president. Oh, he gets to wear the hat. Oh, mocker, mocker, mocker. You know, he gets to do all that stupid shit. But no, I don't think there is a pardon coming, because I think he's talked too much shit on Michael Cohen. I think his team has talked too much shit on Michael Cohen. And I don't think that if they can't, like, okay, here's the thing. You could nail Michael Cohen. You could pardon him, but my guess, much like Paul Manafort, again, we'll get to Paul Manafort later. I would be shocked to know that the Mueller investigation and the other federal prosecutors who are going after these guys, I would be shocked to know that they don't have a state level violation sitting in their back pockets.
I wouldn't be surprised, because they have to imagine that it's always possible.
Yeah, so they're like, no, we're going to break these guys, and like, oh, Trump's going to do a pardon. All right, go ahead, motherfucker. Because all you do when you do that, look, they see all the evidence. In the open, we know all the evidence, right? Like, or not all of it, but like a vast majority of the Novartis stuff and like all of that, like, that is all, it's not debatable. Like, those things are crimes that we know about. So if you pardon him and they have state level evidence to pull up another case to charge him with, then you've just tied all of that shit on the federal level to Trump. That's all you've done. Oh, well, he clearly was okay with that. So it's just more criminality thrown onto that pile. Okay, go ahead. I dare you. Paul Manafort? Like, it's not a guess as to what he did wrong. Like, we know what he did wrong. So you're talking about all the extra shit that maybe the average American isn't aware of, but people remotely paying attention, like, these things are not debatable. So if you do pardon them, all of that stuff just gets linked up to the president. Here's what you think. The press isn't going to, they're just going to be like, oh, you pardoned him? Yeah, it's cool. We're never going to ask about that. Like, yeah, they're going to ask about it. And they're going to continue asking about it because they're straight up crimes. So.
And he basically named Trump, by the way, too, in his guilty statements today.
He said that Trump made him do felonies. Like, that's a crazy statement.
His literal quote is, I participated in this conduct for the principal purpose of influencing the election.
God damn, dude. Like, what does that look like when they take his ass to, when they take his ass on the stand? Like, that is going to be nuts.
So with this now, like, so now Michael Cohen has said in open court that, you know, he violated campaign finance and wanted to influence the election at the direction of the president. Is there any way in which Donald Trump can avoid having to meet, at least meet with Robert Mueller, if not get subpoenaed by the grand jury in the case at this point?
That's a good question. I mean, he could just
Supreme Court notwithstanding, obviously.
Right. Like, he could just ignore it. Right. But in a normal world, no, there's no way he can avoid that. In this of the darkest of timelines. Yeah. He could just ignore it and just be like, MAGA. Like, I don't know. like he doesn't really have to have an answer.
But
I think they excuse
like
it.
With this statement that if he does decide to ignore it, he's going to get. Republicans in Congress can't just ignore this. I mean, they can and they'll try
and will. Like,
right.
But there are going to be some. There are going to be some.
Point, at some point, the dam's got to break.
Yeah. Look, I'm telling you, man. Along with the Omarosa stuff, I mean, like keep in mind this week, right? Is nuts. You've got the Omarosa stuff that started off, started the tail end of last week, got like really super crazy. You've got Michael Cohen today. You've got the Paul Manafort stuff today. Like, you've got another indictment of a Republican in Congress. Like, you've got all of these things happening today. We are less than 100 days from the midterms. At a certain point, when we get close, you're going to start to see panic set in for the Republican Party because those numbers are going to start coming in.
Well, if they were smart, they'd be able to see down that road right now and start to make those moves.
Right. But the problem is, and this is they are a victim of their own cheating success, which is they don't believe the numbers. Right? The numbers were a lie.
Oh, I think if you were to talk to them candidly, that they would give it a little more credence than they do in public.
Well, that I would agree with. But I'm saying as far as vocally now, they don't agree with it. So, like, they can't make – like, if you don't agree – like, let's say, okay, they do agree with the numbers that are coming out. That's fine. But they can't make moves like they do agree with them because then people are going to be like, then what the fuck are you so worried about, right? Because on television, you're like, no, the numbers are wrong. You know, Trump is making America great again, and America's behind him. Like, nah, dude, they're not. Like, they're really not behind you. What was it that I watched that clip from Bill Maher, which I haven't watched the show in a long time. But it was a clip, and they had that former senator on. I can't remember her name. And she was saying how in 2016 or excuse me, in 2014, during the last midterms, the amount of women that registered with whatever this group was to like get help to start running for office was like 900 or something like that. 900 women across the entire country asking this specific group, like, oh, we need help for funding and like, how do I run and all this other stuff. The number now for this midterm was 40,000.
Yeah.
Yo, what? Like those numbers are insane. So those aren't women running the majority of those aren't women running as Republicans. Those are women running as Democrats. And they're pissed. So Republicans can pretend all they want that nothing is going to change. They're on the MAGA train and shit's running smooth. No, you're like, that train is coming and you are standing on the tracks with your back to it. Like, you're not paying attention. And you better wake up. And like I said last week, barring some massive cheating scandal, I don't see how they're not going to get destroyed. I don't. And people are like, oh, well, it's definitely going to happen. It's definitely going to, the Russian interference is definitely going to happen. But here's the thing. The Russians want chaos. They don't want the Republicans. They want chaos. And if they can get chaos in the United States, the best way is to not do anything or do very little and let the Republicans get absolutely fucking wrecked.
Right. I mean, it was just reported yesterday, I think, that apparently Microsoft said that there was evidence of Russians trying to hack into Republican think tanks.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. They're not leaning for one part. I mean, obviously, they'd probably prefer Trump to be in there, not necessarily Republicans per se.
Right. Because, like, the thing is, Trump is a chaos agent. So to keep Trump there makes sense, right? Because they know they don't have to do anything for him to just wreck shit because he's a psychopath. But they also know that if the Republican, or if you've got a Republican president and you've got Democrats in the Senate and in the House, oh, it's just going to be straight up craziness. The Democrats are going to be like, that's cool. Nothing gets done. And Republicans are going to fucking freak out. So, which means Republican voters are going to freak out, which means they're going to want to take to the streets with Second Amendment remedies and all this other. All that shit is just chaos. That's what they want. Right. Meanwhile, we as a country take our eye off the ball, which is Russian influence around the world. That's the whole fucking point. So don't be surprised if the Russian push isn't as strong as it was in 2016.
Well, like, and it can't be anyway, just because it's a lot easier to affect one large race than, you know, 430 small
right.
ones.
Right. And that's the thing I said last week. Like, these Republicans are like, yeah, you know, we'll be fine. Like, yo, the Russians ain't helping you in when you're running for dog catcher in Minnesota. Like, they don't know you, dude. Like, you are nothing. And the big crux of the whole Russia investigation is that someone on American soil who knows American politics had to help them, had to tell them, where do we push against, like, what do we push against to help you guys? Well, you can't do that across 400 races.
Right. Because what helps in one district is not going to necessarily help in the other district. And
exactly.
So on and so forth. So.
Yeah. I don't think the midterms is going to rock. Again, I'm not saying that it's not going to be shady. I'm not saying that, but it ain't going to be some fucking easy thing like the Russians had in 2016. I do not think so.
Like I said, it's gonna be fun. That live show is gonna be a doozy.
It's gonna be lit. Gonna be super lit. And I'm hoping, don't hold me to this, I am hoping that will be the kickoff episode for us to do video as well as audio. That's my hope. We'll see if Andy has internet that doesn't depend on two hamsters fucking in order to get a download going. So,
but we'll yeah, to wrap it up, an impressive self-cuckening today by Michael Cohen.
Yes, but it's the first self-cuck of the episode, but it will not be the last.
No, certainly not.
My God. All right. So moving on from there, make sure, by the way, make sure you get 5-star reviews in on iTunes. As long as they're 5 stars, we will read them on air. We don't have any 5-star reviews this week, but when you send in the 5-star reviews on iTunes, it helps the show get noticed. So really trying to push up the show, especially that first hour for folks, and make shit happen. All right. So again, as long as they're 5 stars, we will read them on air. Even if you want to write in and be like, Hey, I know that I self-cucked in front of the FBI and I ratted out my friend Donald Trump, but me, Michael Cohen, I am sending in a 5-star review because I need this read and I need people to know that I care about America. Also, where's my money? yeah, so you can send anything in it. It's fine. Next up, Army reinstates at least 36 discharged immigrants. This is a fascinating story. You remember a couple months ago, or maybe a month ago, since August 17th, the United States Army has reinstated 32 reservists and revoked discharge orders of another 6 enlistees who sued them because these are people who joined the military who were not American citizens. They were immigrants and were told that that was a path to citizenship. And they were like, yeah, that's cool. And then the Trump administration was like, yeah, get rid of them, which is fucked up. Another 149 discharges have been suspended under review, said the Army Assistant Deputy for Recruiting and Retention, Lyndon St. Clair. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a quick note, but they seem to have realized that the press on this was pretty bad, and now they're kind of reversing it.
Not only that, but I also think that you could look at this as an example, and this is not the first time that Mattis has really done this, where, you know, the administration comes out, does something stupid, and the Army's like, yeah, sure, we'll get behind this. Hey, let's just actually, you know, business as usual once we, you know, once it dies down a little bit and the president doesn't notice, because, you know, just throw a ball across the room and that'll distract them, then this will all be fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's basically exactly what they did. Which, I don't know, kind of pisses me off, because that means Mattis knows it's wrong. And instead of standing up to the president and being like, nah, dude, this is fucking uncool.
I mean, it's the same thing as the transgender ban
that
the administration wanted to do.
Yeah, we're going to do this. Okay. Oh, you guys not looking? Yeah, we're not doing that. Fuck out of here. Like, I mean, look, I guess from a positive standpoint, at least he's there to kind of take the brunt of that, take the bad press for a couple weeks or a month, and then do the right thing. But at the same time, it'd be nice if it didn't happen at all.
Right.
Right? You can only tell your boss so much.
Doors, Mattis is probably lobbying for this shit not to happen, but the problem is you can't convince the dumb president to not do something he wants to do. Like, he's a baby. True. Like, he can't listen to logic or reason. Like, and not to tie it into everything else, the tweet storm that's coming about this Cohen and Manafort thing is going to be epic. But any intelligent person would shut the fuck up. And I'm sure his lawyers are probably saying, hey, Donald, shut up. Like, you're not helping right now. But no, he can't help himself.
He can't help himself. But, you know, so that goes to a larger point, too, right? Which is, yeah, I'm listening to these clips of Giuliani. I'm listening to, you know, these other lawyers for Trump and these other confidants for Trump and everything else. And one thing that I realize is there are two types of people who work for Trump that are, like, in the limelight, right? There's group A and group B, and I like to label them as, like, the sycophants and, let's go with, reality winners, right? Mm-hmm. The sycophants actually believe that this guy is innocent. And it is weird to hear them talk, right? Because we all know, in paying attention, it's not like we just don't like Trump, but, like, we are paying attention to this shit. There are clear crimes that are happening. So,
well, and this is like, it's like, you know, watching Cuomo and Giuliani go at it. And it's just like, Rudy, what are you doing, baby? Like, you can't go on TV.
You can't say like shit this. Like that. Right. He's in the sycophant group. I think Rudy Giuliani truly believes that Donald Trump is innocent. I think he does. And that, to me, is why you get these, like, truth isn't truth and, like, you know, we were always at war with Eurasia, you know, like, all these kind of things, right? Like, I think that comes from trying to desperately force your brain to say something that it deeply knows doesn't make sense, right? And you're just like, all right, I don't know. Truth isn't truth, dude. Sorry. Like, I got nothing else. But then there's the other side. And that's the reality winner side, right? Which is that you're Mattis and those kind of people. Like, they know that this guy isn't. And by the way, John Kelly, I think John Kelly's in that group, right? He's in the reality winner group, but he has to pretend to be a sycophant because he's too close to the president. But I think those guys, Don McGahn is another one, they know he's guilty. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to use whatever legal precedent or just presidential precedent to cover for him until they, like, maybe they find something else, but then they can, like, mitigate the damage and everything else. But I truly believe, like, Don McGahn, there's no way this guy doesn't know Trump is guilty.
Well, it's also no because
the,
for the
he's still a piece of shit, by the way, but right. He knows that he's guilty.
Right. Well, but the problem with the sycophants is they have to make themselves believe this stuff because their success is inextricably linked to that of Trump's.
That is correct.
Like, if Trump goes away, Rudy ain't on TV anymore. And this is the same guy that, it's been said about him, the most dangerous place in New York when he was the U.S. attorney in New York was between him and a camera.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of his way.
And the same goes for all the other sycophants that you see, you know, Sarah Sanders and
Kellyanne,
you know,
Conway,
like, of that ilk. Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, Sean Spicer talked about how hard it is for him to find a job now. Yeah. Because you're a liar.
Right.
Because, no one wants to hire you, dude.
You debase yourself on a regular basis for a lunatic.
Yeah. And you didn't see how damaging it was when you were in it. And to me, I don't know how you don't. But I guess it's because I'm not a sycophant. Like, I'm just not. So because of that, like, you're right. Kellyanne Conway, any of those guys, they're all going to have such a problem.
Oh, they're going to be radioactive. No one's going to want to touch them because they'll never be able to wash the stink of Trump off of them.
Not for a long time. I mean, maybe eventually, but not for a very long time.
Not in any public facing position. They're not.
Yeah, that's probably true. What's the guy who's head of DNI?
Dan Coats.
Dan Coats. Thank you, Dan Coats. He's in the reality winner side because that dude's like, nah, you ain't tying me to none of this bullshit. Like, yeah, they're like, oh, Vladimir Putin's coming to the White House. He was like, really? That's a shot.
Like, that's not good.
Yeah, like
someone probably should have to ask me first.
Yeah, he is. If you want to see the difference between a sycophant and a person who truly knows this guy is fucked in the long run, Dan Coats is a perfect example. He doesn't tie himself tight to that administration at all. You damn near wouldn't know he worked there if he didn't have a formal title. Like, he just plays it in a way that keeps a refreshing distance away from the bullshit. It does. Like, he literally, when he talks, he you can watch him. He takes in what you say. He doesn't bullshit you, but he figures out a way to go, that's interesting. I don't agree with that, but I have to do this job. Next question. Like, that's how he operates. So you're going to see more of that, and it's going to be fucking fascinating. So we'll see. So next up, another Republican gets indicted. This is actually quite hilarious because this just broke at 6:25 Eastern Standard Time.
Before we got on.
Yeah, this is just gorgeous. Just lovely. Oh, I'm sorry. It was updated literally 5 minutes before we went on. GOP Representative Duncan Hunter and his wife indicted on charges of misusing campaign funds. And just by the look of his face, I guess he was a Republican, and I was correct. Of course.
The California Republican.
Yeah.
One of the crooked eight, as it were.
Yeah, delicious. Federal grand jury on Tuesday indicted Duncan Hunter and his wife on charges of improperly using hundreds of thousands of campaign funds to pay for personal expenses, including family vacations and dental work. Brad, you are the closest to a California Republican that I know. How do you feel about one of your own going down?
Look, I've seen Duncan Hunter on TV. He's one of those like smug asshole type of Republicans, ones who, you know, like,
is, well, there any,
you know,
other kind?
Obviously, I don't like how the president carries on, but I do agree with his policies, and I think that he's the right choice to lead the nation. Well, no wonder you identify with him so much, yeah, Duncan Hunter, because you're apparently a fucking criminal.
Yeah, no, lovely. I am profoundly amazed that people would go on television and say things like, oh, this guy is great and everything else, when you know you're committing crimes. Like, they'd be like, oh, Jay, do you want to come on? I'd be like, I'm busy. No. Don't put my face on TV. Nah, I don't need these embarrassing tapes of me being a giant hypocrite. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, like, if you know you're doing some wrong shit, like, how have people not figured out by this at this point that this shit's going to, especially if you're in politics, this shit's going to come out eventually, sometime.
Yeah, of course it will. And look, we are in the era right now, the era of white collar crime doesn't get ignored anymore.
No.
And
well, we've got to drain the swamp, Jay.
Yeah. It turns out we actually do because there's more fucking gators in it. So I think this whole Robert Mueller investigation, I think that's what's happening. I think the entirety, and this is obviously not a federal case, but I think the entirety of the reasonable parts of the Justice Department across the country, or the justice branch, or you know, the legal branch, I think they're realizing they've been too easy on these white collar criminals, and I think now that they see you know, the biggest white collar criminal is in the White House, they're like, no, fuck this noise, this is crazy. And I think, look, the fish rots from the head. Of course this guy thinks it's acceptable, because look at the president. The president is making tons of money through emoluments. The president is just doing whatever he wants. He's just lawless. So, of course, it just encourages pathetic losers like Duncan Hunter to copy the same shit. What, who was surprised with this? Kids just emulate their parents, you know, so to speak. So I'm not surprised by this at all. Now, granted, this happened back in 2015, but this sort of behavior, like, goes it like it goes and then it ramps up, right? There's a quote in this indictment that I think is just fucking tremendous. It says, on or about March 20th, 2015, when Duncan Hunter told Margaret Hunter, his wife, that he was planning to, quote, buy my Hawaii shorts, but had run out of money, she canceled him to buy the shorts at a golf pro shop so they could falsely describe the purchase later as, quote, some golf balls for the wounded warriors. Yo, what kind of a scumbag are you that you think it's acceptable to use the wounded warriors as, I don't know if it's a wounded warriors program or she's just saying, she's talking about vets in general, but to use them as a way to skirt the law and to pay for your fucking Hawaiian shorts.
Oh, here's the best part.
God, you dickhole.
Here's the best part. So Republicans apparently were somewhat aware that he might be, because like I said, obviously the charge, like the indictment just got passed down today, but they were aware that the charges had been filed.
Mm-hmm.
But Republicans stuck with him anyway. And unless he dies sometime in the next 10 days, like that's literally the only way, he's going to be stuck on the ballot this November. And there's no write-in candidate option in California.
Ugh.
So he's going to be going up against Amar Campanajar, who is a progressive Democrat that was challenging him for the seat.
Oh, come on. Yo, this is the easiest. This is the easiest fucking victory of all time. Run a goddamn campaign ad. This guy shit on veterans. That's it. That's it. Come on. This guy should. This should be a fucking layup.
Now, that said, his district is in San Diego, which, as you informed me last time I was on this podcast, is actually a solidly Republican area.
Yeah, super red, dude.
Of California.
Look, I used to live there. There are three military bases in a very small area. Like,
but as you as you say, if there's one thing that Republicans that'll get their goat, it's if you shit on the military.
That's it. I'm telling you. Look, what's his opponent's name again?
Amar Campanajar.
Yeah, look, Azerbaijan, like, fucking get in there and kick some ass. Like, I'm telling you, don't go easy. Oh, well, we don't know all the... Nah, fuck that. This guy hates the troops. I love the troops. America. America first. Wait, probably shouldn't go with that one. But, like, no, just, look, get a couple of soldiers who support you, bring their happy asses on television, stand with them and be like, these guys I support. This guy doesn't support it. And put that fucking screenshot from the indictment up on the screen. Stop playing easy. Stop playing patty cakes with these guys. This guy and his shithead wife thought it was acceptable to buy Hawaiian shorts, and try to expense that shit for wounded warriors. I would go on television in Hawaiian shorts and I'd stand next to troops and I'd be like, I bought these myself. This guy tried to get these guys to pay for it. That's the kind of guy you want? Nah, fuck that. Let's do this. Let's ride. Also, Hawaiian shorts are terrible. It's an awful, awful fashion choice. Yeah. Nah, man. Come on. Like, don't play easy with these guys. Republicans are bullies. And the way to fight a bully is to punch them in the face. That's it. Stop playing patty cakes with them. Oh, well, maybe. Nah, fuck that. Come out strong, man. Come out strong. That's it. Look, people like strength. They like good policies and they like things that help them, but they like strength more than anything. If you can deliver that strength and if you can deliver that message with some strength behind it, people will support you. That's it. I mean, it's just a fact. That's how Republicans win. Their policies are shit. But if they have strength, that gets them halfway there. This guy is a scumbag. This should be a fucking layup. But we'll see.
But well, I mean, like you said, Republicans will vote for anything. So
God damn, man. Like, that shit is crazy. Here's a little bit of breaking news. Donald Trump's very bad day gets worse as apprentice contestant demands documents on alleged misconduct. Ooh, that's a discovery. Oh, she wants that. Look, I'll just say it right now. She wants that nigger tape. She does. I'm telling you, that's what they want. It's probably not even relevant to her at all. She's like, no, I want it, and I want to release it. Good.
Do you think it would matter?
Yes. Yeah, I do. But not for the reasons that people have been arguing. I'm actually glad the story came up because this is not on the docket. Everyone's like, oh, I don't think it would matter. We already know Trump's a racist, da 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 da. Absolutely. But I feel like you are devaluing the power of that word. That word is powerful. And it's not powerful because, well, Republicans will be fine with him saying it because Republicans are racist. Or, you know, whatever, certain Republicans are cool with that. Or they just won't care. I don't care about them. The misconception with Trump and his base is that you are supposed to give a fuck about them. You're not. They are a solid 30% unreachable basket of deplorables. Ignore them. That is not your goal. Your goal is the other 70%. Now, you already got 55% already. They're already liberal. They hate this motherfucker's guts. The people you need to concentrate on is at 20% of fucking independence. And hearing a modern president say something negative to that degree, calling a black person a nigger, that shit is going to resonate with them. It's going to. And they're going to be like, yo, that is wildly unacceptable. Because if nothing else, even if they don't believe it, people generally want to be on the right side of an argument. They just do. And people are going to be like, you know, I'm not really trying to be on the guy who said nigger side. Like, I'm just not. Like, they're just not going to be. Is that going to change it so it's 80-20, you know, anti-Trump people? No. But you only need to get that 15 to 20% of independents, or the 15 to 20% of the electorate that's independent. That's it. The power of that word, like, the thing is, when you look at campaign ads and things like that, right? There are things that over time have been extremely powerful, right? The white hand ad, if you guys don't know that one. Where they had like this, you know, this pair of hands, like, you know, balling up a piece of paper because they were so mad because a white man lost his job to a black person or whatever, right? By the way, that ad made by Alex Castellanos, who is on CNN. And I'm like, that guy's a racist. Like, why is he on TV? But like, that was a powerful ad because it spoke to white people. They're like, this is white genocide. We can't get jobs anymore. Oh, okay. So that spoke to them. Now imagine the Democrats with that same power of a tape of the president using what is inarguably one of the most offensive words in the American English language. Now Fox News and Republicans will be like, well, they say it in rap songs all the time. Nah, yo. You know how I know that's bullshit? Because when white people hear somebody say nigger, even they'll be like, God damn. Okay, like, we all know that shit's unacceptable. That's why when they say it to a black person, they kind of look both ways, make sure nobody else is looking. Yeah, they know it's not cool. They know. Right. And they know it's a difference. So, like, we can pretend that a general white person in America is completely stupid. They're not completely stupid. They're well aware of what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. They know the difference between a rap lyric and somebody saying nigger in a negative way towards a black person or about a black person. It has power. And it has power for the left. And that, to me, is what really matters. I don't give a fuck what the people on the right think. They're a bunch of lunatics anyway because they voted for a psychopath, right? He's a racist. We already knew that. They voted for him anyway. Fuck them. Who cares? Worry about igniting the left. Having a tape of the white, suspected racist president using the N-word? Fuck yeah. Young college kids will come the fuck out for that shit. Like, not on our watch. We are going to fight this white racist president. They will. They will. Absolutely.
So, sadly, well, not sadly, but the actual person that's looking for discovery is Summer Zervos, who's one of the women that has filed a sexual assault complaint mm-hmm. against Trump.
Yeah, that's the woman. That's the woman who's the lead in this story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also, Tom Arnold is looking for the tape, which is weird. He's got a show on Vice because Tom Arnold needs attention. That's why. So yeah, but I completely reject the idea that it won't do anything, because I think people are making the argument from the wrong perspective. No, that is a powerful argument from the left. Now, I don't give a fuck about the right. Care about the people who you can reach, not the people you can't. That is like, you think Republicans are trying to reach like hardcore like liberal voters? No,
they're just trying to grab independents.
Yeah, that's it. And yet, for some reason, liberals and Democrats are like, how can we figure out how to break into the basket of deplorables and pull them back? Fuck them. Let them live in the abyss. Who cares? Ignore them. There is 70% of the electorate that is up for grabs for you. 70% on each side, right? It's the fucking normies that are on your side, and then it's a part of the independents. That's it. That is it. Everyone else, fuck them. You're going to get, look, if you run with reasonable policies, you're going to get 90% of those people who support those policies, right? You get 90-95%, no problem. A couple people on the edges, right? The independents are the people that you got to pull over and be like, our message works. And I'm telling you, tape of a white man in 2018. I'm not, again, you know, some people are like, nobody cares about that. Some people care about that shit. They do. Well,
the flip side, though, is that with reasonable policies, you don't get your young base to come out and turn out for you.
That's right. It's boring.
You need progressive policies to get people out.
Right. But again, even progressive policies have to be, I hate to say this, but they have to be extreme, right? Young people speak in extremes. They think in extremes, right? They're under 25. I'm talking under 25 folks. They are still thinking with their amygdala. Like, they are living in a world of extremes. So you say, well, you know, Social Security is really good, and, you know, we're going to work to save that. Da, 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 da. They're like, yeah, this is fucking boring. It's boring. Give me something good. We're going to destroy corporate America. They're like, hell yeah, that sounds awesome. Because that's how they think. So you have to come fucking hard. You got to come hard. And guess what? Saying the president is on tape saying, nigger, you voting for us or you voting with him? They're going to be like, yo, that is mad extreme. I'm with you. I'm telling you. Because that's how young people think. It is. What is the thing that's riling young people up? School shootings. It is the most extreme fucking situation. You can't get them on board when it's like, well, you know, we need to talk about, you know, less bullets in the magazine and da 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 da. Hey, here's a fucking audio tape of kids getting shot. What do you think? Holy shit, this is unacceptable. Boom. Big fucking parades and all that in meetings and shit in DC. That's what gets young people. You have to talk to people where they live. Stop talking to young people like they're 65. They're not. When they get 65, then you can talk to them like that. Once they get past thinking with their fucking lizard brains, because that's a fucking fact, when they get past that, then you can get into the boring shit. Look, I listen to podcasts. That's my interest. Young people are skateboarding and doing whatever else they do because they want to do more interesting shit.
I love the skewed view you have of America's
young people are only skateboarding and eating ice cream. I don't know what they do.
They're with their backwards hats going along the half pipe, smoking their weed and whatnots.
I mean, is that incorrect? Using their George Foreman grills? I don't know what they do.
George Foreman grills. Right.
Living in their apartments. I don't get it. But when I was their age, that's how I thought. And I'm trying to put myself in where I was mentally. And at that age, 22 years old or something like that, right? Fresh out of college or still in college, you gotta pull at the shit that they care about. Like, the fact that the Democrats are still hemming and hawing over weed makes no sense to me. This is a fucking slam dunk. It's a slam dunk. Yeah, we're for weed. Legalization. Period. This shit is stupid. I'm tired of putting young people in jail. Let's get this shit done. Done. Platform over with. What got young people out? Gay marriage. We're gonna make that shit cool. let's let people live, let people love who they want to love. And young people are like, yeah, I want to be on that. I want to be on that side. They want to be on that side. And look, how do you think the fucking right gets young kids? They're killing babies. It's most fucking insane thing. But they do something extreme to fucking wake them up. That's what they do. And look, the right does a lot of shitty things, but that is something we can learn from them. You have, if you're going to get young people, pull them over with something that fucking snaps and they can go, holy shit, that is a serious fucking issue. Yeah. Look at any videos of young conservatives. They're like, the world is ending. Jesus is coming back. We have to stop Democrats. Yeah. They don't talk about policies on some fucking normal shit. They don't. Just saying.
That's because their policies suck.
Yeah. Well, they, of course they do. That's why they have to talk about Jesus. That's why they talk about Jesus. Because that's all they have. But you have to use the shit that is it not, I shouldn't say extreme, but the shit that pops, you do, right? Like, these kids are still watching, I don't know, MTV 2 or something. I don't know. I don't know. But you got to talk to them where they live, man. You do. Just saying. Sex scandals, eh, nobody cares about that. Everybody's watching Pornhub. It's not going to reach them. Like, it's just not. Speaking of scandals, Omarosa continues to be a thorn in the side of the administration. I don't have a story as much as just a comment. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if she's going to be in the background, you know, dropping tiny mini scandals while the big scandals are going on. Fine, I guess.
Yeah. Look, I still hate her.
Don't give her money.
What's
like,
up?
Let her be on TV, yeah. I guess. And just, you know,
yeah, look, I'm not a fan of her fucking face. But at the same time, yeah, keep dropping those truth bombs. I mean, she dropped an audio that said that proved that they were trying to buy her off, which was kind of dope.
Yeah, like, I mean, don't buy her book though. Like, please don't.
No, fuck that.
She should not be rewarded for her, you know.
You know what? No, I'm going to disagree. Fuck it. Buy her book. Who cares? I don't give a shit. Look, I'm not going
to
buy it.
You don't get to be a sycophant and then rewarded for, you know, realizing that you were a sycophant.
Here's the thing. I'm okay with a temporary payment of Omarosa so that she can help to destroy the presidency. And then we can all agree that she never gets to be interesting to us ever again. I mean, take your money.
She would have to be interesting to us in the first place.
Well, to a lot of America, she is. I'm telling you, man. Look, there is one thing about Omarosa that I will give her credit for, and it's very few and far between things. She is the perfect foil in the era of Trump. She is. She's a daywalker. She has all his powers and none of his weaknesses. She doesn't.
So what you're telling me is that the top competitor to Trump 2020 is going to be Avenatti Mangano.
Oh,
2020.
Wow, that is an awful thing to say, and that is right up there with Trump saying the N-word on a tape. Like, it's just as awful. What I'm
Basta Rosa.
Yo. That is awful, and that is a pretty good. That is in the running for a show title. That's pretty good. I look. Here's the thing. I think that she is the reason, and you brought up Michael Avenatti. Like, they are perfect foils in the Trump era, right? They are wildly inappropriate, boundary crossing lunatics. Like, all of them are. They're just lunatics. Look, I like Michael Avenatti, but this guy's like, I might run for president. I'm like, no.
Please don't.
Please don't do that.
Please,
I don't
need do anything else. Literally anything else is fine.
Yeah, look, he came out today and he was like, hey, Rudy, you and your boys fucked up. Like, we got your boy Cohen. Now, I'm like, can you just stay on the lawyer game? Because on the lawyer game, you are killing it. And I like you. But if you run for president, I'm going to have to be forced to hate your guts. So don't do that. Like,
right.
You are wildly unqualified.
Look, when we get the White House back in 2020, we'll let you be deputy AG. We'll let you just slide right on in there. It's fine.
You know what? You know what? I'll be fine with it. They need a bulldog. They need a bulldog. That's fine. Look, you got my man Adam Schiff as Attorney General, and then he just sends out his son of a bitch, Deputy Attorney General Michael Avenatti. And he just goes on TV every night, just dropping elbows on white collar criminals. Like, I am fine with that. I am 100% fine with that. But do not run for president. One, you are going to embarrass yourself, right? You're going to lose
It's ironic that he makes fun of Rudy Giuliani, because I have a feeling a presidential bid from him would be very Giuliani-esque.
Ugh, it would be a nightmare. Like, what are your policies, dude? Basta? Like, that's it? Like, come on, yo. Like, that's not enough. Like, it's a sweet hashtag.
I still don't know what it means.
It means, like, enough. Like, enough of this.
Okay.
But I had to look it up. I don't speak Italian. I also was like, what does basta mean? Is it just, is he just spelling pasta wrong? Like, is he just not smart? I don't know. But yeah, he's not, no, dude. You don't have the savviness. Like, there's a mistake to think that what we need is more celebrity style presidents. Like, we don't. This is a terrible experiment. It is working out exactly how I suspected it would. We need to move away from that and get boring, intelligent presidents again. Like, that's, look, people are like, oh, Obama was boring. Yeah, he was. It was great.
Like I said, it popped up in everyone's timelines that, you know, the scandal 3 years ago was that Obama wore a tan suit.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
My God.
How could he?
Hey, look good in it. It's like, fuck the haters. Check out this sweet-ass Easter suit. in reference to Omarosa, yeah, keep being the thorn in the side, man. She says she's gonna keep dropping shit through the midterms. Good.
And look, that's fine.
She has video, by the way.
We'll see. I guess, I mean, she is savvy enough to know what to hold back and when to release it far. So,
oh, dude, what if she drops like an epic fucking bomb, like right the day before the midterms? That would be fucking awesome. By the way, get some fucking police protection, please. I'm serious, man. You don't think somebody will put a bullet in her fucking head? I think they would.
Or don't.
Yeah. Look, drop the tape. Hold on. We got 9.5 more minutes. Or 8.5 more minutes. I'll give my full thoughts on that. Look, Omarosa, keep doing what you're doing. That's great. And I'll talk to you in 8 minutes. Trump's speechwriter fired for doing his job. Trump's speechwriter was fired for amid scrutiny of appearing with white nationalists. But doesn't he appear with white nationalists during his day job?
Like, right. And wouldn't then Mike Pence have to be fired as vice president for going to CPAC?
Yeah. I mean, isn't that a fucking KKK rally as far as I'm concerned?
Basically.
The GOP is so racist that Ron Stallworth would pretend to be a white man on the phone to infiltrate them. Okay? That's how racist they are. That's a Black Klansman joke.
I mean, it's the problem is that sort of, you know, that sort of white nationalist or white empowerment is just kind of bred into the party through what they do.
Yeah. Oh, so. It turns out he was hanging out with white nationalists. Yeah. Like, okay. Like, are we shocked by this? Have you talked to Stephen Miller? He's a racist.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that people are like, man, they fired this guy, but Stephen Miller's still there. I'm like, yes, he is.
Yeah. No, but he wasn't hanging out with white nationalists. He is a white nationalist.
That's true. That's okay. There's the distinction.
Though. Yeah, like, he's not, like, that's called greasing the groove, guys. Like, you don't have to go two steps. He's one step. He's right there, which is totally fine, obviously. Again, Steve Bannon, actual white supremacist. Like, hello? Have you read Breitbart? The Jews are coming. Like, I mean, come on. They're fucking psychopaths. Okay, this next story it's not an article, it's a video. So it's linked in the show notes. And I would encourage everyone to watch. It's about 10 minutes. So back a year ago, Vice did a video where they were like embedded with the white nationalists at the Charlottesville Unite the Right KKK kind of Nazi rally. We all remember that they were like blood and sand, the Jews will not replace us, the tiki torch assholes, right? Yes. So they were with them a year ago, and so now they're doing a follow-up a year later, right? Look, you can say many things about Vice, but man, Vice does not fuck around. Like, they get right into the fucking mix. I'm like, how have none of you been shot? I just don't understand it. But so they went and they talked to, or they went and followed Richard Spencer around, the David Duke of his time, and they went and followed. Remember that crying Nazi guy?
I do remember the crying Nazi guy.
So he is the real focus. He was the real focus of the last one, and so he's the real focus of this one. By the way, we both have something in common with him. We're all podcasters.
Yes, so, I actually saw this video when they dropped it, because it looked interesting. And then it's funny that you shared it a week later. It's like, oh man, I was like, I guess that's still hanging around here. Yeah, he is a podcaster. Right now he has the current reach of Alex Jones.
What?
The current reach.
Oh, okay. I was like,
not Alex Jones at the peak of his powers, but Alex Jones, I can't stay on any social media platform. Alex Jones.
Yeah, he's, he says he has 10,000 listeners.
Yeah.
I don't believe him. No, I don't believe him at all. Yeah, the reason why I bring this up is not just because I get to make fun of the crying Nazi guy, but like that was funny. No, it's because of something Richard Spencer said, right? And something that's sort of reiterated by the crying Nazi guy as well. And they were never in the same room, so these are completely separate opinions. Their 1 year anniversary in DC, which was their other Unite the Right, as people know, only had like 20 or 30 Nazis come.
I believe 24 was the.
Was that the official count?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Richard Spencer says in the video that the reason why things are in disarray for the alt-right is because, and I'm paraphrasing this, but it's pretty close. He said, Antifa is just willing to go further. And to that, my heart grew three sizes because I fucking told you. Having white kids who don't give a fuck, who punch Nazis in the face, has an effect. It does. And those guys thought that they could walk in on their fucking bullshit Midwest. All these people out here agree with us or just don't say anything. So we're going to take it to a major city and it's going to be cool shit. They
and thought that shit that, was going to work. But also the liberals are pussies mandate.
That, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Likes to follow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Come catch these fucking pussy hands.
And I was going to say that should have flown out the window when Richard Spencer got his fucking jaw rocked on Inauguration Day.
Yeah. Like, look, again, if you think that these kids, these black bloc kids are playing, they're fucking not. They want to fight Nazis. They watched tapes of shit going down in World War II and they were like, fuck that noise. Not on our turf. They're not playing with you. And look, people are like, oh, all those bullshit hand-wringing articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post. Is it okay for them to do that? Are other people, shouldn't they be scared of Black Bloc and other minorities and they're going to come and take over? None of that shit happened. None of it happened. And I knew it wasn't going to happen because those kids want to fuck up Nazis. You know why? Because punching Nazis looks fun. That's it. And nobody cares if a Nazi gets their teeth knocked out. Nobody. Nobody gives a fuck. It's Nazis and zombies. You can kill them in video games ad nauseum. No one cares.
I've always wondered why. So Antifa literally stands for anti-fascist. And you have people who are like, anti-fascists are bad. I'm like,
so are fascists what? Good?
So you support. So in the battle between anti-fascists and proto-fascists, you're like, no, proto-fascists. Good. Anti-fascist, not good. Huh.
It seems like an odd choice to me. But I had someone when I got into that my little tiff with Dinesh D'Souza and his brigade of
Nimrods.
Seems too nice. We'll go with Nimrods. Just because I have another minute and a half to go for 60 minutes. But somebody, like, I guess, looked back at one of the tweets I had sent that same day and it said, well, this coming from a guy who supports Antifa. And I was just like, yeah, I do. Look, I have no problem with people being anti-fascist. I am anti-fascist. Like, well, you know, like, we're going to shame you. No, you're not. I feel like you never heard this show before. No, you're not. Like, oh, you support Black Bloc. Yeah, I do. I want them to beat the brakes off of you. Are you kidding me? I don't give a shit.
But now, Jay, you've influenced millions to hate.
Yes, that woman. I've influenced millions of people to go out and watch Dinesh D'Souza's movie. It's amazing how he couldn't get millions of people to be inspired to see his movie.
Right.
Man, our reach is really awesome. We have 1 million listeners. No, we do not. I assure you. I would love that. And I'm every day trying to make that happen, but that is not true at all. I found that to be an interesting video. And the crying Nazi guy was like, look, the entire thing is just in shambles just because they don't know what to do. And so I watched it and I was kind of driving the other day and I was thinking about it as I tend to do. And I was thinking about why would the alt-right be in shambles, right? Like, shouldn't these guys be able to come together and take on Antifa and all this stuff? But then I thought about it. We often talk about, because we call them Nazis, we think about them as like a military, right? Like, we think about the Nazis were able to do things because they were a fucking coordinated military of quote unquote like-minded people, just like our military is. I'm not comparing our military to Nazis. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm just saying as a military organization, right?
Well, the Nazis were, that was the official political platform of that state.
Right, exactly, right? So they were trained in the same ways. They all got together. They went to the same fucking meetings and da-da-da-da-da, all that shit. But the alt-right, even though they take on all of these attributes of Nazism and fascism, they're just a bunch of assholes individually living in their mom's basements around the country. So there is no real coordination besides online forums. They're like, oh, I hate niggers and chinks. And there's nothing there that actually speaks to a level of organization, right? And because of that, when they do get together, they're just a bunch of fucking nerds. They're just a bunch of nerds. And then the Black Bloc kids are also a bunch of nerds, but they're just like, we're going to hurt you. We're not fucking around. There's no big, super, super tough alt-right guys. There's not. If you watch any of those videos, there's a couple of dudes who look like they've benched once. They're not, these are not stone cold movie grade Nazis. They're not. They're just a bunch of fucking nerds who feel slighted because they don't have a girlfriend or the Latina chick turned them down in high school. That's it.
It's the incel brigade. That's basically what it is.
It's the what brigade?
The incel brigade.
Yeah, it is. So this idea of they're this massive threat that's going to, no, they're not. Cause they literally are a bunch of loud online bullies. And when they were faced with reality a year ago, that shit crumbled. It did.
Well, and that's the other part of it too, is that you look at the fallout from the initial rally where, people were being ID'd online and potentially losing jobs.
And that's exactly what they said too.
Right. It's one thing when you can sit there and live in anonymity on the internet. It's very easy to throw bombs when you can hide behind an avatar or a public persona. It's very different to actually put your face on those views.
Yeah. And look, they even had that one kid who was really the face of that rally. He was screaming and everything. Yeah, that kid was nah, I gave that shit up. I'm going to CPAC. I was you just took your fucking golf shirt and tiki torch and just traded in for a button down, but whatever.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to be associated with that shit either. No, absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, you're going to lose your job. They're going to go after you. You live in the age of fucking the internet, dude. They found these motherfuckers in 30 minutes. Boom, boom, boom. This guy's a professor at this college. This guy works here. They found them so fast.
But that being said, even though, like I said, they are keyboard warriors and they're not, they can't organize. They do vote. And that's why it's important on election day to fight these assholes at the voting booth, because they will come out and they will vote for their shitty candidates.
Yeah.
And you have to get up and vote against them. It's fine and good to show resistance at rallies, but you have to go make the change when the change actually counts.
Yeah. Look, get out there, beat the shit out of them on Saturday and go to the voting booth on Tuesday. I can't give you any better advice than that. I was also thinking about another part of this whole thing, which is there is when I watch these kids in Black Bloc and shit like that, one of the things I notice is that obviously the vast majority of them are white. Right. And the reason why, if people are wondering, why aren't there, minorities out there fighting alongside them? Because that shit will never be adjudicated in a proper way if we are out there. It never will be. Know that. Like, just know that. And black people are not going to put themselves, or Latino folks are not going to put themselves in that position. And they'd be smart not to. That being said, one of my big reasons for being okay with what those guys do is because you don't want, and when I say you, America, you don't want these Nazi motherfuckers to spill over past these Antifa kids or these black kids. Because if it does, and it spills into normal streets, that is chaos in this country. Because I can tell you right now, minorities are not going to be put in a situation where they have to fight for their lives like that. They will end it very quickly. And this is just fist fighting right now. Like, that's all it is. You better pray it stays on that end. You better pray it does. So, no, I think in some ways, this is good. Get your ass whooping like this, because otherwise it's going to be a nightmare for you. On both sides, by the way. Like, I'm not just saying, oh, you know, black people will just beat them all up and stuff. Like, no, it will be a fucking nightmare. But, hey. So, yeah, 1 year later, the alt-right got beat by Antifa. So, yeah, I support it. From hundreds of white people thinking they could do some fucking racist shit to 24. I mean, I don't know, man. It's I don't know how you can't love those numbers. Those are,
I will say, though, that the that Washington local D.C. Home Depots are probably really disappointed, because they probably stocked up on their tiki torches and just are left with stock now.
Oh, yeah. The fucking CEO of Michaels is pissed. God damn it. I thought we were going to sell more. Nope. Where are the white polo shirts? Next up, Michigan officials face manslaughter charges in link to Flint water crisis. I was very happy to see this. This was great news. So Judge David Goggins has ordered Michigan Health Director Nick Lyon to stand trial on involuntary manslaughter charges for the deaths linked to Flint's water crisis. Obviously, that was the lead. A number of people were sickened. They got Legionnaire's disease, which is fucking crazy. 79 people got Legionnaire's disease in 2018, and 12 people died from it. If convicted, Lyon could face up to 30 years in prison and another 5 years on the misconduct charge as well. So, good.
Yes, put people in prison. It's a shame that it's taking – it boggles the mind how long – and protracted this whole Flint, Michigan situation still is. Like, it's unconscionable that this is still going on.
It should, this should have been one of those, you know, it's like when we talk about America being great and all this other shit, this should have been one of those things where we as a nation came together and fixed it. Just plain and simple. We should have been like, what does it cost? Oh, it costs $1 billion. By the way, it wouldn't cost $1 billion. That's fine. These are American citizens. We're not going to allow this to happen. And the federal government, and look, and again, I put this on Obama because it happened under his watch. He should have fucking just thrown an elbow to the Michigan fucking state government. Like, get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
He should have.
Why didn't he?
I don't know. I really don't. I would imagine it's some bullshit about like, this is our, you know, jurisdiction or whatever, but fuck that, dude. These are American citizens. You cannot allow this. Like, people talk about, like, issues with drones and stuff like this. This, to me, was his biggest failure. It truly was. Because this, as a president who was so thoughtful and so smart and everything else, and as a black man, he should have fucking, this should have been the thing. He should have said, get out of my way. Right now, we are going to take care of these Americans. Like, it should not have even been a conversation. I'm not surprised Trump hasn't done it. He don't give a fuck. He's like, oh, more black people are fucking hurt and dead. Great. What do I care? Have you seen my N-word tape? I don't give a shit. But Obama should have been on that. That should have been an easy fucking slam dunk victory for him. Well, not even a victory, just a fucking victory for those people, not for him. But this should have been something the federal government should have jumped in on. But I don't know why they didn't, but they should have.
Yeah.
And to me, there's no excuse, because even if they took you to court, good, take me to court that I'm helping people. Fuck you. Like, yeah, let's fight that battle. But I don't know why. Maybe I need to, you know, honestly, maybe I need to do some more research, obviously. But I just feel like that was something he should have done. Like, this to me was one of his biggest failures. Absolutely. So, yeah, good. Nick Lyon, go to jail. By the way, he shouldn't be the only one. So
no, and I get the sense that this is probably just going to be the first Domino.
Good.
And of course, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is supporting Lyon in this case.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah, of course he is. And not to make light of this story, but David Goggins, the judge in this case, has a humongous and incredibly loud bow tie that he's wearing in the picture in this article.
I thought you were going to say that he was related to Walton Goggins.
No, but like I said, Google him and his glorious bow tie, which is very large and sticks out.
Wow.
Above his robe. So.
Dude, that is wildly unacceptable. Oh boy, that's a poor choice. Next up, in the Eliminator, I don't have the audio effects this week. Paul Manafort found guilty on 8 counts. 10 counts. The other 10 counts are going to be labeled a mistrial. How upset are you about this news?
You know, he was facing potentially 305 years in prison. And it's really unfucking conscionable that he's only going to be facing 240 years. Mm. That gives him 65 potential years for his corpse to still be, you know, exposed to the clean air of Earth.
That's fair. You asked me earlier, do I think Paul Manafort is going to get a pardon? I guess my question is, do you think he's going to get a pardon?
That's a dangerous game that Trump's playing, because if he does pardon Paul Manafort, again, that's one of those things that Republicans cannot in good sense turn a blind eye to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's too strong of a move. Like if you are innocent, the move is, hey, Paul Manafort fucked up. That's his burden to bear. Sorry, bro. You got to go to jail.
Yeah. But I think it's very, considering this other case that's coming up, it's going to get a little scary, because this is going, not scary for us, this is going to be great for us, but I think it's going to be a little scary for Trump, because it's slowly moving into his sphere of influence. It's slowly moving into the White House. And actually, I shouldn't say slow. It's really quickly moving into the White House. And I think that's going to be, I think that's where he's going to want to pardon Paul Manafort, because Manafort is, look, he stayed strong. He never said shit about Trump. He's, that's his homeboy. But like I said earlier, if you think that the Mueller investigation doesn't have a stateside case waiting in the wings, you are being naive.
Right. And that is the other thing. Like that is like, if it happens, you know that somebody that, you know, some state's attorney somewhere is going to be like, sorry, Paul Manafort, but we have to go to jail stateside.
Now. Yeah. And you ain't going to look. You think they're going to pardon him? Like, you think the governor of Virginia is going to pardon him? Nope.
Well, absolutely not.
No. No governor is going to. No governor. Because the second you pardon Paul Manafort, you can kiss your electoral capital goodbye. Goodbye. It's gone. Yeah, like Trump might be able to weather that storm, but you can't. Like, again, nobody's coming to save you, man. No one's coming to save you. So, yeah, I think Manafort is, I believe the term is manafucked. Like he is. He is. He's fucked. Because even if he somehow gets out of getting 240 years, which I personally think is unfair. I think he should have to serve all 240 years. I think they should figure out how to give him whatever powers Highlanders have and make him serve the 240 years. And when he reaches 240 years, they put a bullet in his head, or cut it off. Cause right, that's how you die as a Highlander. But even if he doesn't serve any real time for this, he has another trial in less than a month to get ready for.
Yes.
And supposedly tonight or tomorrow, they're going to drop, when that is, what all the major evidence is that they're coming with that second case. So we are going to get a lot of information right off the bat about how fucked Paul Manafort is in about 3 weeks.
So the charges that he was actually found guilty on, 5 counts of filing a false tax return, not filing a form in 2012 to report a foreign bank account, and 2 convictions of bank fraud, 1 related to a $3.4 million loan from Citizens Bank, and one was a $1 million loan from the Bank of California.
Yeah. And those are not, like, again, those are things that you cannot ignore. Like, those are real crimes that we know of. Like, easily, these are easily knowable things. So, good luck, Paul. We're rooting for you to get 240 years.
I mean, so how soon until Manafort makes a deal on sentencing?
That's a better question.
Yeah.
Today is Tuesday. When's okay? So they just came up with the 8 counts tonight. When's the sentencing? What do you think? Sentencing's Friday?
Maybe next week. Sentence him until after his other trial is over.
No, they're separate trials. Fuck them.
Yeah, but do you think they're gonna sentence him this quickly?
I'd like them to.
I know, but it's taken them a really long time to sentence other stuff, and especially I don't know if they're gonna work to sentence him quickly because now Mueller can go to him and be like, so how about knocking a couple years off that 240 there, Paul?
Yeah, we'll drop it down to
what do you got for me?
We'll drop it down to around 200. You might get out. Yeah. When do they come back? When does he try to cop a deal? You know what? Here you go. You'll know when that deal. You'll know if he's gonna cop a deal. This is a dead stop. This is how you'll know. What they drop as evidence coming up in that next case will matter. It will fucking matter. If they're like, we have your phone records and all the dirtbag shit you said and all these crimes, he's gonna be like, nah, yo, they got me. I'm not going to jail for 500 years. Fuck that. I quit. That's when whatever that evidence is, if it's dead to rights and there's no way for him to talk his way out of it, nah, he's fucked. And by the way, it will be.
Look, Paul, you go to jail for 3 years and the cherry on top will let you keep the ostrich coat.
Oh shit, son. Do I get to keep the Python vest? No. Robert Mueller gets to wear that.
That's right.
He gets to wear that to Trump's indictment. Yeah, so or arraignment, excuse me. I think it's gonna matter. I think the sort of drop dead date is going to be when that evidence gets dropped for the next case. And that's supposed to, like I said, that's supposed to be tonight, Tuesday night, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. Depending on how heavy that is. If that's super heavy, you're going to see Manafort either buckle or he's never going to break at all. But I think he's got to buckle, and then I'm waiting
for the pardon to come in. That's the thing there. Like if he doesn't eventually fold, because that dude is not going to stand up there and face sentencing on 240 years.
Yeah.
Without knowing that he has something in his back pocket.
We'll see, man.
We will see.
It
has been a glorious day.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But before today, there was a weekend, and that weekend brought Rudy Giuliani on the weekend shows to do his glad-handing, toothy grin nonsense. Rudy Giuliani declares that truth isn't truth in an interview with MSNBC Waste of Space Chuck Todd. He basically said, look, I don't want Trump going in and interviewing with Mueller because, you know, it could be a perjury trap. And, you know, what one man's truth is another man's lie, basically. And he was like, truth isn't truth. If Trump says something and then the Mueller guys say, well, it's something else, then who's to say? You know, this case is not fucking based on hearsay. Like, it's based on evidence.
Right. And statements are part of that. I don't know about you, Jay, but I've watched enough Law and Order to know that sometimes two different witnesses in a trial have contradictory statements that directly contradict one another, and it's up to the jury to figure out which one of them is lying.
Yeah. I don't know what sort of libcuck version of Law and Order you watched. I only watched the first half, the law part, and that's where Ice-T just like throws people on to the hoods of police cars, just like a good American cop would.
You know, it's almost as if an attorney doesn't want his client to testify because he knows his client testifying would be his client's word against the word of witnesses against him, that attorney probably thinks that his client might have a bit of a credibility issue.
Mm.
I wonder.
Yeah, which actually kind of goes against my earlier point that he's a sycophant who doesn't realize Trump is guilty. Maybe Rudy does realize he's guilty, but he's just trying to move the goalpost enough to get him off.
I mean, truth isn't truth. Literally got Chuck Todd to bury his face in his hands on live television talking to Giuliani.
Yeah. I mean, that shit was fucking funny.
Like, don't do that to me. And Chuck Todd's like, don't fucking say dumb shit like truth is truth.
Yeah, like, come on, dog. Like, look, I'm Chuck Todd. I'm useless. But Jesus Christ, even I can see how nonsensical this is. Like, what am I supposed to do? Pretend like you said something reasonable? Like, no, dude, you didn't. Get out of here. It's amazing to me. But, I mean, hey. Truth isn't truth, Brad. This is what we've learned today.
Like I said, I do enjoy, if you ever get to see Giuliani go on TV against Chris Cuomo, always do it. Because, you know, Chris Cuomo is an actual, like, lawyer. Like, and he has no problem giving it back to people who say audacious shit on the air.
No, he really does not.
So that's always entertaining. Always entertaining.
Yeah. It is really kind of funny because, yeah, Cuomo, like, he's not good at pretending. He's just like, this seems like a bunch of bullshit you're trying to feed me. Like, come on, dude. Have you seen my brother? Get out of here. You seen these guns? You know how much I work out? Like, why are you working out so much? Get out of here. But yeah, it's Rudy Giuliani is a hilarious character because Trump put him there to make, like, to kind of work the refs, but he's a disaster. Yeah, he is awful. The thing is,
like Trump is stuck in this like weird version of current events where he like gets a lot of people who had like a heyday back when,
mm-hmm.
but right now they're like the shittiest version of themselves. But all he like Trump probably still looks at Giuliani as like America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani. And like remembers him around like 9/11 and shit like that, not realizing that dude has had a steep decline in the years since he left office.
Yeah, no, it's been fucking massive. It's a massive decline. And you're right. Like, I mean, even if you look at his legal team, it's like people who were helping him with his divorce. What? Like, you're putting them up against fucking Batman, dude. What are you doing? You know, they're going to get destroyed. And they do.
Right.
Again, we still haven't seen Robert Mueller on television, by the way. Not once.
Well, because that's not his style. That's not what he does. He fucking hates talking in front of people.
Yeah.
He fucking hates microphones.
Yeah, no, he just shows up, throws you off a roof, you know, keeps you dangling there and makes you swear to him. Like, that's what he does.
But this is the same reason that you, like, Ben Carson is in this administration. Ben Carson wrote Gifted Hands. One of the best books ever. He's a brilliant neurosurgeon. I don't care what he does. I want him near me. He's great. Yeah, he's a crazy person now. Like, he's kind of fucking
insane. Dude, he's always a crazy person. He just kept that shit under wraps. Like, he just did. Like, that guy had a painting of him and Jesus. Like, he was a crazy person.
Like, Trump debated against this guy in Republican primaries. And after those performances, he's like, I gotta have him. This guy's awesome.
He's black. He can be ahead of urban housing. What's it called? Housing and urban what? Black housing? Yeah, no, put the black guy in there. Black houses. Yeah, I love those. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck. When's the last time you heard anything from Housing and Urban Development? Anything. Besides, hey, they're trying to fuck over more poor people. Like, right. Nothing.
I mean, that's basically like, what he's there to do.
Right. He hasn't done a single thing at the Housing and Urban Development that has been worth a damn. Nothing.
He has bought some very nice furniture.
Yeah, well, I mean,
as we recall.
I mean, that was Candy's fault. That was not his fault. Candy fucked up. Like, but
stop letting your mom buy furniture for your office, Ben.
Oh. That's Mike Pence's mom. His mom wife. Mike Pence has a mom wife. Trump has a daughter, a daughter wife. Like, this is weird. Everyone over there is fucking weird.
But yes, like I said, everyone is crystallized in Trump's memory as being their best selves.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely true, which is just weird to me. Like, nah, yo, it's like, don't do that. Like, these people
have fucked up in major ways, but you're just not paying attention to it. Because I think Trump is in steep decline, just mentally. So he's just like, everybody's dumb. That's cool. That's how I am. Like, I don't know. So fuck it. Pick Rudy Giuliani and Ben Carson, these two buffoons. Like, he just doesn't notice. So great. It's great. Look, more power to you. Next up, Trump's little feel-good Nazi parade was canceled. I personally was very upset by this. I really wanted to see the U.S. military goose step their way down Pennsylvania Avenue like a bunch of fucking cucks.
Has anyone attempted to spend more money in government to flate themselves than Donald Trump?
Openly, no.
Yeah, that's. I mean, like, how many rallies does he have? Are we sure his campaign is footing the bill?
I'm not sure of that. I'm positive that we will find out that we paid for every one of those black for Trump assholes to show up and everything else. So the parade apparently was going to cost $92 million. Trump canceled it. He said he canceled it because the price was too high, but then the Pentagon said actually Trump didn't even get to see the price tag before canceling it.
$92 million for a fucking parade.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Are you buying that price? It seems high.
I am, just because the cost to transport all of the military equipment that they would have wanted to use would have been quite substantial. And doing like fucking flyovers with, you know, F-17s and shit like that would probably cause a lot of money as well. So I'm not saying that that's wrong. Plus, you have to secure permits and you know, blocking and security and how many protests are going to be out there and all this stuff. It's just really dumb that he even wanted to do it in the first place, though.
It is incredibly stupid. Why? Prove our military might? We are the biggest military. We're bigger than the next 26 militaries combined, something like that. Like,
but that's not Donald Trump's way. Like, his way is power is only as good as it is visible. He's lived his entire life by that edict. That's why he builds 50 story buildings with his name on it. It's why, you know, it's why his name is on all these fucking buildings that he builds. It's why he has a TV show where he is basically fucking, you know, making personnel decisions on there. It doesn't matter how much power you have. If you can't flaunt it, it's meaningless. That's his mindset.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. But that's a fucking problem, man.
It's a huge problem. It's almost like we shouldn't have elected him president.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Weird.
Yeah.
What a wild idea.
Well, you know.
Hindsight's
20/20, Jay. We should have all known better at the time, I guess.
Hey, spoiler. Let me give you a little bit of inside baseball. I already fucking knew. A lot of people already knew. But yeah, it's to me, it's wild. Like, dude, you're gonna spend $92 million on this, and like, by the way, this article doesn't point this out, but earlier last week, it came out that Trump admitted it, that he had cut funding or kept funding low, the military budget low, so he could do the parade. So he was putting troops in harm's way and not giving troops what they needed or whatever reason, making cuts so he could have a fucking jerk-off parade. Don't talk to me about Barack Obama or other Democrats or other Republicans as being all the same. This motherfucker is a different type of asshole. Like, he really is.
Like, to my knowledge, and I could be wrong for this, we could try to get Michael Beschloss on the phone to correct this. I don't think there's ever been another president in the modern era that has lobbied for a military parade. And don't say, oh, well, you know, they had a parade when the troops came home for World War II. Yeah, they did, to celebrate the end of the fucking war.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that.
How powerful we were.
Like, That one's okay, by the way. Like,
yeah.
I'm okay with that. Like, giving a military parade for a massive victory that literally was a war to save the world, I'm okay with. Getting a military parade for a dickless wonder who didn't even go to Vietnam when he was called up and pretended to have bone spurs in his foot. And he doesn't even remember the fucking foot that he lied about. Because he was busy at home having sex. And as he would say, avoiding STDs was his personal Vietnam. We're going to have a parade for that guy? No, fuck that. Oh, it's going to be great. It, like, is that how pathetic your patriotism is? That you have to see big tanks rolling down Pennsylvania Avenue to know that our military is mighty? It is mighty. I know it because we kill people all around the world with relative ease. Like, come on, man. This shit
and for
stupid.
Him, I'm sure he thinks it would have been easier to have that to point to when he's trying to negotiate with, you know, countries like North Korea and stuff like that. Be like, look at what we could do to you if we get into war. Look at all our beautiful equipment, our beautiful tanks and our beautiful missiles and all this stuff. You know, that's probably in his mind as well. If this had gone off, by the way, it would not have shocked me if he would have asked for a uniform.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine?
I often do. No, I think he should. He says it's postponed until next year, which I laugh because I'm like, you think you're going to be in office in a year? That's funny. I don't. But yeah, no, I want him to put on the fucking like Muammar Gaddafi fucking uniform. Like, that's what I want him to do. Like, don't wear the fucking, don't just get like a standard uniform. I want the shoulder things and just like the hat, like the sunglasses, like just go for it. Make up a couple of medals, like one for backgammon or whatever bullshit. Like, who cares? Let him just go full dictator. And then someone just push him down a fucking hill.
or just confront him with a flight of stairs.
Yeah. Be like, walk down this slight incline. I don't want to. I'm so afraid. Good. Now get out of here. Why don't they, like, if you really want to get rid of Trump, just put him at the bottom of a hill. Or like in a valley, like he can't get out. Like, that's it. Like, we're trying to figure out all these like impeachment. Just put him in the bottom of a valley. He's too scared to get out. He'd just be stuck. He'd just stay there and cry, and it'd be great. We'd be fine. And like every so often, we just like fly a plane over and just drop a couple of Diet Cokes and some pizzas or cheeseburgers. I think that's
well done, Steaks. Only the best for our president.
Two scoops of ice cream. Three. You know what? Three. Fuck it. We can afford it. We got $92 million for a fucking bullshit jerk-off parade. We can afford three scoops of premium ice cream. Only the best for our criminal president. Next up, John Brennan has his secret clearance revoked by Trump, which was disgusting in and of itself because John Brennan said something negative about him. Or several negative things about him.
I'm going to say one negative thing. I think that John Brennan was regularly going on TV and shit talking him.
Yeah, no, and look, by the way, I support it. I 100% support former CIA director John Brennan's statements.
Here's the fun thing about John Brennan. If you listen to people that worked in the Obama White House, this is the one guy that they hold up as being the most apolitical dude that they'd ever worked with. And like Jon Favreau talks all the time about how of all the Twitter accounts that he follows, the fact that John Brennan's even on Twitter, number one, but the things that he says, he's like that makes him stand up at attention the most because of the type of guy that John Brennan is. Yeah. So John Brennan is a serious fucking dude. And Trump's treating him like he's any other, like this is a political pissing match, basically.
Again, keep going. Like, if you think that pissing off all these senior guys in the military and former CIA guys, if you think that is going to be, that's just going to go over fine, keep going, man. Just keep going. Look, Brennan already came out and said he will sue him.
Yep. And not for his sake either, but for the sake of everyone else who Trump is considering pulling clearance from.
Yep. They're going after Bruce Orr right now. And I'm sure that won't stop. Now, the reason why I bring up this story, yes, the John Brennan part is amazing. But that's not why I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it up because retired Navy Admiral William McRaven, did an op-ed for the Washington Post. Now, if you don't know who retired Navy Admiral, William McRaven is, he headed the, SEAL Team 6, team that killed Bin Laden. Like, he was the guy. That was his dudes. And McRavens said that he called Brennan one of the finest public servants I have ever known. He says in his Washington Post op-ed, quote, "Therefore, I would consider it an honor if you would revoke my security clearance as well, so I can add my name to the list of men and women who have spoken up against your presidency." Yo, that's a badass military statement. God damn. That guy has definitely murdered people in the name of America on foreign soil. Also, this guy's head is gigantic. It just is.
His head is shaped like a light bulb.
Yeah, it kind of is. I was thinking more of like a football helmet, like an like he looks like he swallowed a football helmet.
Like that, his jaw is so square. If you punched him in his face, it would shatter your hand. I have to imagine.
No, that is without a doubt a fact. But yeah, McRaven is not playing. Like this guy's like, I kill people for America for a living. Don't fuck around. So he's like, yeah, look, revoke my clearance. I fucking dare you. And these guys are coming out pretty hardcore, which is super dope. But what I like about this is they are thinking four steps ahead of everyone else, including myself, because I hadn't thought about this either. Brennan and McRaven both said that what they're concerned about is that not only is Trump going to go after Bruce Orr and all these other retirees who are super important who came out against him, but they could use this as a way to get people used to pulling security clearances and pull security clearance from Robert Mueller and his team.
Right.
Which that's a smart fucking thought process because that is 100% a real concern. I think it's a disastrous move because I think
right now at this moment in time, that would get Congress off their ass if Trump were to somehow hamper the investigation.
The thing is, if he does that, that's obstruction of justice. Like, yet again, you moron.
I mean, just add that to the pile.
Oh, the next story is the next story? Or at least it's, yeah, then literally the next story is the same fucking situation where if he does something to combat the story, he will throw himself into another obstruction of justice situation. Yeah, no, he's a big time dummy. But I'm very interested to see what Brennan and McRaven end up doing. And I'm very interested to see if he takes McRaven's security clearance.
Well, and again, if you're just to combat the political aspect of this, after Brennan got his clearance pulled, a letter came out that was signed by pretty much every living former CIA director, deputy director, and every director of national intelligence that used to serve in support of him. So
yeah, go ahead. Again, keep going. Keep going, man. I'm telling you, one of the lessons I've learned very early in my life is that when you're on your way up, be very cognizant of who packs your parachute, right? What I mean by that are the people who help you, the people who support you. Because, and I was told this a long time ago, because if you fall, and you will eventually, when you fall, those are the people who are going to look at you as you fall down past them. And people that you look out for and that you treat well and with respect, they will put their hands out and they will help you and they will fucking catch you. But when nobody is there to catch you, you will fall further. And this is what you're seeing in real time. None of these guys will be there when the shit hits the fan to say, well, we support the president. They, you know, we got all these generals and retired generals and all these other really upstanding people in the military and in the intelligence community. We support the president and da da da. Nah, dude, there's not going to be anybody there for you. Who's going to save you? Don Jr.? He can't catch you. See how weak his back is with that deadlift? Get out of here.
Don Jr. might be in jail by the time.
Good. Head of a Trump. Good. Good. Who's going to be there? Eric? Eric's not going to be there. He's yelling Rocky Road in the fucking Goonies movie. He ain't got time to be there for you. Get out of here. So
even if Brett Kavanaugh is able to prevent anything from happening to Trump, there ain't no law protecting the president's son, my guy.
No. But well, what about my son? Nah. Who? Who? You're not elected to office. Look, Brett Kavanaugh is not even on the docket. He might not even make it in.
he might not make it in. Because the Democrats, they got blood in the water for this motherfucker. They are waiting to vote for him. Or wait to vote against him. They can't wait. He lied to them. They already want, they want their pound of flesh on him. And they might just get it. They might just get it. So, look, you better, look, you better stop while you're ahead. Personally, I think you shouldn't stop. Keep going. But you are going to fuck yourself because there's going to be nobody of any real reputation to stand there when you fucking fall. Everyone is going to look at you and go, you revoked my security clearance. Fuck him. I don't give a shit. You got nobody. Who do you have? Who you have? Don McGahn? Next story. Don McGahn testifies 30 hours to the Mueller team. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, according to Don McGahn's lawyer, he was confident that McGahn didn't say anything that would harm the president over the course of 30 fucking hours of interviews.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Here's another guy who has been looking at history lately and of the things that affected John Dean during Watergate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, look, there's a time to pay attention, and this is it. It's time to listen to Michael Beschloss, because shit's getting real. So the Don McGahn story is really fascinating, right? So Don McGahn, and I think it was 2 days ago, 3 days probably by the time you guys listen to this, the Daily had a really great breakdown about the Don McGahn thing, which it's like 20 minutes. So it's a good listen. Basically, Don McGahn, who is the internal White House lawyer, said we should not cooperate with the special counsel. Like, we should not give them full access to us. Like, this is a bad idea. Trump says, Trump listens to you, Jay Sekulow, and the other fucking Ty Cobb and all these other buffoons.
John Dowd.
Yeah, John Dowd. He says, he's like, no, we're going to cooperate because those other half-baked lawyers say we should. We'll get this, because they were like, yeah, we'll get this thing wrapped up in 2-3 weeks. No big deal. 2-3 months, we'll be done. Okay. Then those same morons decided to run their mouths at an outdoor restaurant, and a reporter from the New York Times overheard them. I'm sure people remember that story. And so they started writing about it. So then Trump's like, yeah, Don, just go in, meet with Mueller's team. It's fine. No big deal. Well, then he finds out, he didn't realize that now McGahn has given 30 plus hours of testimony.
And now, and the kicker is that he doesn't know exactly what he has testified to.
No idea.
Because McGahn has only given him limited accounts.
Yeah.
Of what he talked about.
Yeah. Because it's 30 hours of testimony, dude. 30 hours. So at this point, Don McGahn is internal White House lawyer, as far as I'm concerned, by name only. They are not telling him a goddamn thing. And I wouldn't either.
My favorite part of this story is that apparently the president wasn't worried about McGahn going in there and talking because he assumed that McGahn was his personal attorney and was subject to the attorney-client privilege that normally exists between an attorney and a client, not realizing he was the attorney for the White House.
What kind of a moron are you? Like, just what kind of moron are you?
The kind who doesn't have anyone around him who can get through his thick skull that he is an idiot.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, he didn't know. He didn't realize that he couldn't do that, which is hilarious. No, McGahn works for me. He'll never say anything. McGahn's my guy. Wait, he's not my lawyer. I thought he was my lawyer. He's a lawyer. He's here. He's mine.
And then again, you go on Twitter after this news breaks.
Moron.
And you call John McGahn a, quote, John Dean type rat.
Yeah. No, he's a fucking rat. It's
fucking amazing. Rat.
I'm telling you, man, this guy is in intellectual decline. Like, he's not smart. He's just not. He's not. You can't be. You can't be. His lawyers have to be like, shut up. Shut up. Please, for the love of God, shut the fuck up. But he doesn't. Because he's arrogant. He's arrogant. And he's just like, nah, fuck that. Fuck that rat John Dean and fuck Don McGahn. Like,
he then compared Robert Mueller to Joseph McCarthy, which, again, literally never ever forget. that whenever Trump is talking, he's projecting.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, shout out to Pod Save America, guys. Lovett, John Lovett had a great thing. He was like, Joseph McCarthy? He was like, the amount of information that Trump knows about McCarthy is not a lot. Let's get real. He was like, if you gave him a piece of paper, he said, write down everything you know about John McCarthy, you could not fill a sheet of paper. There's no fucking way. Maybe double spaced you could. Like, no. He's no shit. He's just saying it. He's just saying it. I know that
Roy Cohn was his lawyer, and Roy Cohn was basically my dad.
Yeah.
What else do you know? Well, that's it.
Yeah, and we're done. I know McCarthy has an M in it. He's got a little C. And I think he has a big C too. Yeah, yeah. Write that down. Yeah, no, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. So, good luck with all of that. Last but certainly not least in the Eliminator, Elizabeth Warren should be president. Now, that's an obvious statement, but she proved this week why that sentiment makes even more sense. So last week she introduced something. What is the name of it? Last week she announced an act called the Accountable Capitalism Act, which I'll talk about in a minute. But this week she introduced a sweeping anti-corruption bill on Tuesday that would impose lifetime bans on lobbying for presidents and federal lawmakers, restrict elected officials from owning individual stock, and limit lobbying on behalf of foreign governments.
Weird. It's kind of like all of these things are like relevant to current events right now.
Yep. But again, Elizabeth Warren, man, I'm telling you, she's the one. She's the person that we should be picking for president in 2020 because she actually fucking gets it. She gets it. If she could get this passed where presidents and lawmakers and cabinet secretaries and justices would not be allowed to own stock, yeah, they shouldn't be able to.
Well, let's get real about this though. First, there's
Congress
no way
is never going to vote for
in
that.
In hell, this is ever hitting the floor. Are you kidding me?
No, it's time to get paid. Like insider trading is legal. Like for Congress, like it's legal. They don't give a fuck. Come on.
But this is something that she can run on. Like I said, absolutely. So here's the you broke down the details. You also talk about basically of presidential candidates being required to disclose tax returns and continue to do so during the presidency. You basically, you know, prevent lobbyists from taking government jobs for 2 years at least, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
So they're good ideas, and this is something that you can run on for a presidential race.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. No, I like it. Absolutely. I definitely like it, but it's not going to happen, but that's okay. Like that's fine. It doesn't fucking matter. What does matter is that her heart is in the right place and her thought process is in the right place. So yeah, she should be fucking president because we need this shit. And look, you don't have to get all the way there, but if you got a plan like that, that's a good liberal plan. Hey, young people, I know you're get off your razor scooters for a second. Listen to this shit. This is the shit you want. This is like you want, we want a liberal president. This is it. This is it. Because you have a chance to fucking get one. You truly do. We just have to just survive. Just fucking survive. The other part to this was her putting up this Accountable Capitalism Act, right?
Oh, it's the ACA.
The ACA. yeah, think about it. This is a new one. This one, it focuses on companies with at least $1 billion in revenue and would require them to obtain a federal charter via a proposed U.S. Commerce Department office, obligating them to consider the interests of all corporate shareholders, i.e. shareholders, employees, and the community. One immediate consequence could be to reduce, could be a reduction in successful shareholder lawsuits on fiduciary grounds, which is interesting. The other part is it will prevent officers or directors from selling stock within 5 years of a receipt or within 3 years of a company stock buyback. Now, that's important because what happens is a lot of times officers and directors of corporations like Chris Collins, who we learned about, will pump and dump. They will they will buy a bunch of stock. They'll do a stock buyback, lie about the quality of the stock or misdirect, and then they will dump that said stock, and then people will lose tons of money and they will bail and they will either make money or lose very little. So I like that idea because that shit is wildly unacceptable. You are the head of the company. You go down with the fucking ship. Run a better company. That's just, it is what it is. The other part is it would prevent companies from making political candidate expenditures without the approval of 75% of directors or shareholders. Now that's kind of interesting, right? Which is what they're, to translate that, basically companies wouldn't be able to back a candidate or like dump a bunch of money into a political race without 75% of their directors or 75% of their shareholders.
Yeah, the shareholders is probably the more important part.
Yeah, directors, look, they're a bunch of corporate greedy motherfuckers. Shareholders, 75% of them would have to agree to it, which is kind of dope. I like that idea because that means that you would basically destroy that as a possibility. You just would. Like, there's not 75% of any group that agrees on politics. Like, Not even 75% of Democrats agree, like, let alone backing a certain candidate. Like,
and again, this is incredibly smart. This is how you get around Citizens United.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. So, yeah, this is linked in the show notes, so you should check it out. There's a lot more detail in the Axios article, but it's worth a read. All right, this week in Stupid, because we don't have anything in the Atlasphere this week. But this week in Stupid is really stupid. It combines two of my favorite things, religious hypocrisy and medical marijuana. Although I was out in my backyard in my new neighborhood and I smelled someone smoking what I assume was medical marijuana. I was like, interesting. Lawsuit to block medical marijuana initiative claims measure violates Mormon religious freedom. Okay. So you're talking to two people who do not subscribe to organized religion. So this is going
to
be fun.
To be fair, I also don't agree with the proposed law that forces, you know, people to walk up to Mormons and shove a joint in their mouth and light it, basically.
Yeah. I support that.
That's
law.
That's what happens, right?
Yeah, no, that's how else, Brad, how else would they be able to sue? What? That somebody smoking pot or taking an edible in the privacy of their own home would somehow hurt the religious freedom of a person across town in Utah? Are you suggesting that that is what they're talking about? That would be ludicrous. Only a moron would believe that. Salt Lake City, a lawsuit has been filed seeking to block Proposition 2 from going on the November ballot. Claiming Mormons' freedom of religion rights would be infringed upon if medical marijuana were to be legal in the entire state of Utah. So yes, morons would believe that. That is their argument. Yeah. Yeah. Quote, in the United States of America, members of all religions, including the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has a constitutional right to exercise their religious beliefs. This includes the right to not consort with, be around, or do business with people engaging in activities which their religion finds repugnant, and to refuse to lease their property to people engaged in activities which they deeply oppose. That is not how that fucking works.
Nope, because you know what? There's a lot of religious activities that I find repugnant.
Yeah, like fucking little boys.
Fucking being like, go away.
Yeah, like fucking little boys. Hello, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hey.
I'm just saying. All right, wasn't that cool with them? Here's my thing. One, in the Mormon religion, you're not allowed to have caffeine. You're also not allowed to have alcohol. Both of those things are legal in the state of Utah. Mm.
Jay, stop. I'm gonna stop you there.
Case dismissed. We're done here.
You're doing the one thing that you can't do in arguments like this, and you're trying to interject logic.
Oh, yeah, right. You're right.
That, feel free that to doesn't work for me.
Remove the logic and tell me why this doesn't make sense.
Because Jay, according to let's see, what is this dude's name? Walter Plum the Third.
Oh boy.
Who was the guy that filed the lawsuit? Quote, I don't think anyone is in favor of smoking whole plant marijuana in apartments. Who is? Whole plant marijuana.
This guy never leaves the compound. He really doesn't. I have a counter argument. I have a counter argument to my previous logical argument that is clearly the right argument to use because it is unbelievably rock solid. My counter argument to that, but still in agreement with my original argument, which is I think this is stupid, is I'm going to perform something live right now on the show, and then I will explain it. And look, this might be a little crazy, but when I explain it, you'll totally understand.
Marijuana should be legal. It should be legal in Utah because I said it should be legal in Utah. God said it should be legal in Utah.
That's me screaming into a hat. And when I scream things into a hat, it becomes God's law because that is what Mormons believe. And that's okay. And I'm fine with it. But if you believe that, then screaming into a hat should be enough. Spoiler alert, I didn't actually have a hat. I just screamed into my hand. But that is the same amount of ludicrous nonsense that these people are trying to push.
Like,
marijuana should be legal. God said it. Into a hat. It was a starter hat. Everyone remembers starter. Those were cool hats.
Imagine the amount of privilege that has to exist within you to say, well, just because I don't like this thing doesn't mean that I shouldn't be exposed to it at all in any way, shape, or form.
I don't like your religion. It seems crazy. Like, what kind of argument? From my religious beliefs, I don't believe in any of it, but from my religious beliefs, I think you should pay taxes. And I'm offended because it actually affects me, by the way. This doesn't affect you at all. What kind of shit is that?
Again, like, if you don't want to smoke weed or if you don't like smoking weed, that's cool. Don't smoke it.
Right. You can say, we don't allow it on our property. I don't want to interact with people who do it. That's fine. You don't interact with gay people either. They still live. They breathe. Like, I just don't. The argument makes literally no sense. You can even say in your building, I don't want people smoking inside the apartment building I own. Right. You can say that about cigarettes. That's fine. But you can't just say weed should be illegal.
And by the way, they cited the Colorado Baker case in this lawsuit. But that's not even on point. Like that case has to do with a private business.
Right. Refusing service.
Right. You know, with their ability to refuse your service. It's not about the entire state, whether or not they should pass a law or not.
That doesn't make sense. By the way, if you are in support of this, like I don't think our listeners are, like, that would be insane. But if this passes, let's say, right, and they are able to get this this taken down, this proposition taken down, then I would start a proposition that I would start going after things that they believe. I'd be like, no magical underwear. It offends me on my religious beliefs. You should. It offends me on my beliefs.
I would like to file a lawsuit to officially cancel Mitt Romney.
Yeah. No more black ties with white shirts. Offensive. No more black boring slacks that you dorks wear. Like, no. No more of those, like, old-timey dresses that Mormon women wear, I assume, when I watch Big Love. I don't know. like, if that's the argument, then go further. Ban caffeine. Ban sodas. Yeah, just ban them. You know what? Frankly, I would, by the way. That's how much of a dick I am. I would then bring up that we need to ban soda in all of Utah. See how easy that would be. And I would use the same precedent. No, let's ban sodas. And everyone would be like, they would fight hard tooth and nail. And Coca-Cola would come in and all that other shit. And then they would fight it and I would lose. And I'd be like, cool, now I'm going to sue again using that precedent to beat this law. Fuck you. How about that? Apples?
By the way,
how about
Mormons can impose their beliefs on this law by voting for it, because that's how democracy works.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to take it off the ballot, dude. Just vote against it. But you don't say it needs to be taken off the ballot because if I'm 600 miles away in another part of Utah, if somebody has an edible, I get sad. The fuck, get out of here. What kind of nonsense is that? Grow up. Fuck you. If you don't want to do, if you don't want to smoke weed, you don't want to have an edible, then just don't. It's very easy. It's the same with gay marriage. If you don't want to get gay married, don't get gay married. Just marry someone who's the opposite sex of you, or just marry no one. Oh, it hurts my marriage. No, it doesn't. I'm married to a woman. No two dudes or two women getting married affects me at all. Except for if I know the people, then I got to buy them a gift, and that sucks. That's it.
I would love, if this were to somehow, if this lawsuit were to be successful, which it's not going to be.
No, it's
like,
dumb.
There's no way. I would like to then, like you know, some Muslim group in Utah try to ban something on the basis of religious freedom and see how that fucking goes.
Oh, I like that. What do Mormons do? Can't raise a barn? Like, I don't know.
I think you're conflating Mormons and Amish people together.
Am I? They feel like one just feels like an offshoot of the other one, right?
No, I typed in what do Mormons do is the fourth option on the list. Let's see here. What does it mean to be a Mormon? That's boring.
Yeah, of course. Look, you found the answer. What does it mean to be a Mormon?
Well, apparently you have to be white to be a Mormon.
Yep.
I've not seen a single picture of a minority Mormon.
I met one once. You know, Mormons thought that black people were slaves in heaven up until like recently, like 1985 or 1990 or something like that. I'm like, yeah, your religion stinks. Like, I'm not being a slave in heaven, my guy. Get out of here. Yeah, and they all get their own planets. That's kind of a thing.
I mean, that's kind of dope.
Yeah, they all become like the gods of their own planets. Yeah, they don't talk about that too much. Like, kind of keep that one under wraps. That's crazy. It's super crazy. But God bless. I think you should all get your own planet, and then
you can do laws by yelling them into a hat.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I think that this lawsuit can only be brought if someone yells into a hat.
They should have to do it in front of everyone. Yeah, they should have to. Fucking, what's that guy's name? Joseph Stalin. Jesus.
Was it Joseph Smith or something?
Joseph Smith, yeah. That's it.
And look, we're ragging on Mormonism because that's in the story. To be fair, I hate all religions equally, so it's fine.
Oh no, if Christians tried this, I would go the fuck in. Are you kidding me? If atheists tried something stupid like this, I would go the fuck in too. I don't give a shit. Like, you're all assholes. Just stop, leave people alone. Like, that's it. Just leave people alone. I don't like when atheists tell people that religion shouldn't exist. No, just don't be an asshole. Leave people alone. I only care when your atheism or your religion affects other people in a negative way. If it doesn't affect you or affect other people, I don't care. You want to go to church every Sunday? I'm going to brunch. It's fine. We can go our separate ways. It's fine. It's fine.
Look, as we've discussed before, the number one tenet of the most reasonable religion out there, Satanism.
Yes, it is.
One should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason.
Yes. And then if somebody does something to you, you must destroy them with magic. I mean, they all got one crazy rule. Like, they just do. The atheists were very close to being reasonable, and they're like, no, but then use magic. I was like, all right, well, God damn it. By the way, one guy says, this plum guy says, I'm a Christian and I'm against this. I'm against marijuana. I'm against whole plant marijuana. I'm not against the extracts.
Why are you specifying whole plant marijuana?
Oh, because of this. He says, I'm not against the extracts such as CBD oil that may help people for the FDA approved marijuana products. My dog takes CBD oil as well. It's good. I mean, it's good for you. But that's stupid. Because there are some THC benefits, and you're just being dumb, and you're just being a religious nutbag. So fuck off. Get high, man. Maybe you'll just chill out. Get high, eat some cake, and be reasonable. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is you might put on a couple of pounds. It's fine. All right. I think that is it for us this week. Very good episode, Brad.
It's been a very fun day. I'm trying not to get too excited, but it does finally truly feel like that today might actually matter. in the grand scheme of things. And also, I cannot wait to listen to Mad Al later today.
Oh, no, no, I'm hyped.
It's going to be lit, as the kids say.
Yep. No, I'm hyped, man. I am absolutely, absolutely hyped because I listen to it in the morning. So I will be making my coffee and enjoying Rachel Maddow trying her best not to be as giddy as humanly possible. And she's not giddy because of like liberalism. She's just giddy because she loves the news. Like, that's it. She's like, people are going to jail. This shit's awesome. Like, she just likes the news. And I love that. I love hearing her be excited about the shit. It's great.
And can I just say, I've been listening this whole time, by the way. Thank you for having me on your show. If you know anybody that can keep me safe in the clink, I would appreciate it. Because I have a feeling people ain't going to like me very much in
the
there.
Clink. All right. Well, thank you, Michael. Good luck with all your crimes.
My crime and days are over. I will cooperate with Mr. Mueller in any way possible. I will wire if you need me to. Just please don't send me to jail. Please, because I'm a delicate man.
That he is, a doughy, delicate man. All right, that is it for us. We will see you guys next time. We will be back on our regular schedule. So I'm very interested to see what the next episode is going to be with Andy, because we don't have as much time, but it's still going to be like enough bullshit to fill it, I'm sure.
I hope you have more Cohen to talk about. I hope there's more Manafort to talk about. Giuliani is going to go on TV several times over the next several months, and you get to cover the Trump rally, which I'm sure had some crazy bad shit stuff.
Oh, you know, he went the fuck in. They're trying to destroy Trump's America. Yeah, we are. You're right. So yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
See you.
Bye.